Well, today we're going to begin a new sermon series called For the World. And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about God's love for the world. And so it's based on this little verse that you might know from John 3:16. And so I want to, as we begin, is for all of us to say this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so my hope is that throughout this sermon series over the next 2 weeks that you would see, maybe for the first time or maybe see again, how much God does love the world. And not only that, that you would see and maybe even begin to see how you might be able to share your faith, to share your faith and to share the love of God with those who need to hear it the most. And my hope is that you'll be able to do this in real tangible ways, in real practical ways. So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at this verse and what it means for us. And in the midst of that, we are also debuting our new logo. If you haven't noticed, we have our new logo. So if you want to check that out, we have this right here on our worship pad. It's in your registration pad. We have some cards there. But the whole idea behind our new logo and the logo change is a table. Because throughout Scripture, one of the significant, really, metaphors and images all throughout Scripture is the table. Because it's at the table that we belong and we believe and we become more like Jesus. And so as we think about how God so loves the world, loves you, loves me, loves everyone in this world, one of the most significant metaphors we have, one of the most significant ways that we can live our lives with other people is around tables. And so we're going to be looking at that today. As today we focus on, in particular, creating a place where all people can belong. So I want to do this as we look at this passage of Scripture in Luke 14, starting in verse 12, and we'll also have it on the screens. But Jesus is sitting around a table, and he says to the host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors, because if you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Because although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And one of those at the table with him heard this. He said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied this: "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' And still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.'" It's one of my favorites. "The servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there's still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. And I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Well, Shane Claiborne is a man, a Christian activist who works with the poor, the marginal, the forgotten, the untouchables in Philadelphia. And he spent some time with Mother Teresa, and he has this to say about his time with Mother Teresa in a foreword in a book called Adopted. And I really want to commend this book to you. It's a book about how we all belong to God's family, and it's an awesome book, but he has this to say in the foreword. He says, "Mother Teresa once said that the circle we draw around family is too small. We put limits on love because our vision isn't as big as God's." I think that's what Jesus was doing as he was sitting at this table, at this dinner party. That he was beginning to expand their vision of God's love. He was beginning to draw the circle wider, to open up their imaginations as to who is welcome and who actually gets invited to sit at God's table. Because Jesus love to eat. In the Gospel of Luke, by my count, that Jesus has some occasion in which he's teaching or around a table around 11 times. And it could be more, because, you know, in this story, we have two instances of a table, of which I've only counted once. But really, the point is that Jesus is around a table a lot. And even some commentators have even remarked that Jesus essentially just eats and dines his way through the Gospel of Luke. Because in all these occasions, Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach about the kingdom of God, to expand their imaginations as to what the table is all about. And that's what he was doing on this occasion. Because as he was sitting here at this dinner party with this Pharisee, this religious leader, this person who had a lot of social clout, that Jesus observes that all these people were essentially trying to get the best seats at the table, that they were maybe kind of elbowing their way to the front. Everybody wanted to get, you know, around the host, because the table had become a place of status and significance to them. Because even though they were invited, they really wanted to sit at the head of the table and to be by the host. And so that really, you know, was a projection of their importance. It gave them value. And so Jesus began to observe this, and he really wanted to expand their imagination as to what the table is all about. And so he says to the host, you know what you ought to do is to throw a party in which you don't invite the same people that you always invite. Invite the people who couldn't pay you back. Invite the blind, the crippled, the lame, the poor. They'll never be able to invite you back. Why don't you invite them? And of course, there's always, you know, that guy at the table. Because then one guy kind of speaks up and he says, you know who's really blessed? Those who dine at the table of God. That's who's really blessed. And then Jesus says, you know what? You're right. So let me tell you a story about who gets invited to the Lord's table. And that's when Jesus begins to tell this parable. And maybe it's labeled, you know, the parable of the banquet in your scriptures as it is in mine. But it's really kind of the parable of the dinner party. So Jesus tells the story of a man who sends out an invitation. And in Jesus' time, there would be kind of a two-phase invitation, a lot like, you know, kind of a save the date with an RSVP. And so he sends out the invitation so everybody kind of knows of the date. And he tells them, you know, the party's about to begin, and here's the time it's going to happen. And then it becomes time when the feast is ready. And he sends out his next notice, and he says, it's time to come and eat dinner. And then he gets these amazing excuses. And I like this because they're kind of excuses from everyday life. And really, they're not so bad of excuses, right? I mean, they're not things like, I forgot to set the alarm clock, or I forgot to put it in my phone, or, you know, something like that, or I just have a thing. You know, they kind of have really legit excuses. You know, for the one who says, you know, I'm involved in a real estate deal, and I really need to go check out the property, and so I'm sorry, but I have to decline, you know, send my regrets. And then the second says, well, you know, I've just bought, you know, 5 ox, and so I really need to go and check them out. You know, it's a business deal, after all. And then, of course, as I mentioned, I love the last one. I just got married. I can't come. Because, you know, once you get married, you know, sometimes your circle of friends change and, you know, it doesn't really work out so much. But Jesus says, this is what the man did. He says, fine. Go out and invite everyone else. The poor, the lame, the blind, the cripple. Invite those people who wouldn't normally get the invitations. Tell them that they could come. And I love this because then the servant says, you know what, there's still room. And so the master says, go out and invite everyone you can find. Everyone. And he says, this is how you are to invite them. Go and to compel them to come. And I love this because this is kind of a picture to me that when I think about those who don't normally get invitations, that perhaps maybe they're really reluctant to accept the invitation. They're not used to getting invitations after all. They're not used to being invited to come to the table. And Jesus is saying, compel them to come. Don't stop. Don't give up. Compel them to come to the party. Because what Jesus is trying to do is to reset our ideas of what it is to belong. And you see, Jesus told this story to them because just as this man pointed out, you know, blessed is the one who dines with God in heaven at the great feast Jesus is saying you might be surprised at who's actually there. God is inviting everyone to the table. Not just those who think they ought to get the invitation, or just those who are looking for status, or just those who think they should belong, but God is inviting everyone, even those who think they wouldn't ever belong. Because God is doing something extraordinary at the table. God is preparing and repairing and growing our relationships. Because you see, the problem with our tables oftentimes is there a picture of our broken relationships. You see, really, we can see this in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1 to about verse 13. We see this incredible story. We see the story of God creating Adam and Eve, and then God puts them in the garden and says, you can eat from any tree in the garden, except for the one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you can eat from any other tree, just one you can't eat from. And here's Adam and Eve just eating from every tree in the garden. And you know, normally when we think of this story, we think about it in terms of, well, the problem was is that they then ate from the wrong tree, right? But in chapter 3, we see where the breakdown begins to happen. That the serpent comes to the woman and says, did God really say you couldn't eat from that tree? And then the woman replies, well, God says we couldn't eat from it, but God also said we couldn't even touch the fruit, which is not anything that God said. And the serpent says, you know what it is? It's that God is holding back on you. God's holding back on you. God's keeping something from you that God knows would make you just like God is. You see, the serpent began to dig into that wedge that was beginning to develop between God and Adam and Eve. And we see that this is not really a story of what you should eat or not eat. And it's not a story of God holding back on the first people, but it's a story of broken relationships. It's a story of mistrust. It's a story of becoming estranged in our relationships. Now, estrangement is defined in this way. That estrangement is the replacement of love and belonging with apathy and hostility. Estrangement is the replacement of love and belonging with apathy and hostility. And that's what I see all around us. How about you? But I see so often when, you know, even in my life, whenever I'm going to the store or I'm going to get something to eat or I'm just walking around and I see people and, you know, and hopefully I'm not, you know, particularly rude or anything like that. I hope I'm not, but probably I'm more described as, well, maybe more apathetic to those around me. Do we really notice the people who are around us? The people that we work with, the people that we see in their grocery store, maybe the people that are sitting next to us? Because estrangement begins with apathy, that we no longer see those who are really around us. And then when we do see them, sometimes our posture towards them is hostility. This is the problem of estrangement. And I think we don't have to look any further than our tables to see how we are genuinely estranged and we're genuinely alone. In an article in Forbes magazine in May 25th, 2016, an article entitled, Why We Are Alone. It says that nearly 50% of our meals are eaten alone. So when we think about, you know, the 21 meals that we eat or more, depending on how many times you eat per day, you know, some of you may eat five or six times. You have lots more opportunities to eat meals. But let's just say, you know, three basic meals. Of those 21 meals per week that while around 10 of those, we're eating alone. And the article just makes observations that maybe it's because, you know, maybe for some of us, we would eat our meals, you know, at our desk, you know, as we work during the day. And maybe it's because we have an increase in snacking around. And maybe it's, you know, sometimes we have meals in front of the TV and those kind of things. But it makes this observation that I think is extremely important. And that is that over the last 50 years, we just have lost our focus on the value of the communal meal, of us gathering together around a table and sharing a meal together. And I love this because if you look on the back of your worship guide, we have the story of Dave and Heather Murphy. And in the midst of their story, they're longtime table of gracers, and they help out with their usher team. And in the midst of his story, and he's talking about how he rediscovered God, and he and Heather really began to dive into their relationship with God, he shares about how the table was an important part of their relationship. It was at the table that they began to not only save money, but they began to gather around with their family and share stories and ask questions, share their faith. The table became an important part of their lives. So is it any wonder that one of Jesus' favorite pictures for heaven is a table, is a party? Because at the table, we find our identity. We find out who we are. At the table, we share stories. At the table, we ask questions. At the table, we become a family. At the table, we belong. So what if the church looked like a dinner party? What if the church looked like a table in which everyone was welcome at the table, in which we would invite people and we would tell them, you know, come to the table, that Jesus has invited each and every one of us to the table to come and to eat? What if we were to say to people, you belong at the table? No matter what your past is like, no matter what you believe or the questions or the doubts you may have, you are welcome at the table. No matter who you are welcome at the table. Because I believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And for us to really love the world, perhaps our first move towards the world is to tell them that they belong at the table. Will you pray with me? Jesus, as we come to you today, we thank you for this picture of what heaven will be like. This picture of us gathered around the table, and as we look around, we would see people that we would never imagine would be invited to the table. People who are lost and alone all around us. People perhaps that we haven't seen, but we walk by each and every day. So Lord, my prayer is that you would open up our hearts to those around us. That you would open up our hearts to those that we would extend the invitation to. That Lord, we would begin to tell everyone that we would encounter that you belong at the table. That's a table of love, a table of belonging, a table of grace. And that Lord, for us today, no matter where we are in our journey with you, that we would know, God, that you are inviting us to the table. No matter what our past is like, no matter those ways in which we have fallen short, no matter those ways in which we feel like we have let you down and let others down around us, no matter if we feel like we deserve it or not, but Lord, you are inviting us to the table. So Lord, may we accept that invitation you extend to us. May we meet you at the table as you invite us. So may we come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.